You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which comes to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and this is Alvin A. Craig speaking, inviting you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. The Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." What this old sinful world today needs is the gospel that delivers from sin and gives you power to live a life free from sin. And we're thankful that we have the privilege of presenting the gospel of Christ on this broadcast, and we do trust that our broadcast service today will be a real blessing to you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God, the goodness of God, and the blessings of God. We realize that it is in Thee that we live and move and have our being, And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor even a shadow of turning. So we give you thanks and we give you praise for your love and goodness to us. We thank you for our precious congregation today, and we're trusting that you'll make our broadcast service a blessing to each heart. We pray that you'll remember them and their burdens and their cares and their concerns, for we know that you are no respecter of persons. So minister to our congregation, answer prayer in their behalf, get honor and glory to yourself through this broadcast and through your people. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I first heard of Jesus, his love and his grace, my heart was overwhelmed to think a king would take my place. I cried, Lord, I'll go with you every step of the way. That's all
Our subject for today's broadcast, How is Your Love Life? Reading from St. John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I would assume that you can see by the text, this is not a message to husbands and wives about their love life. This was after the resurrection, and Peter had gone back to fishing, and Jesus met them there on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus asked Peter this question three different times. Lovest thou me more than these? There is not an agreement among scholars as to what or who Jesus was referring to when he said these. Some think he was referring to the other disciples. Peter had implied that he loved Jesus more than others when he said, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33. Others think that he was referring to the fish from which Jesus had called him from when he called him to come and become fishers of men. And he called him to be a disciple. Either way, Jesus asked Peter a very important question. Regardless as just to what these were referring to, Peter was asked a very, very serious question. And he was asked the question three times. And we notice that Peter was grieved. And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Now it is understood, Jesus used the word agape or agapes the first two times, which means supreme, God-like love. And the third time, Jesus used the word which suggests an evaluation was needed. That is, do you love me as much as you think you do? Jesus raised a question that we all need to consider. It appears that Jesus' question was directed to the objects of Peter's affections rather than a comparison to the love of the other disciples. Do you love me supremely? Is your love the God-like love? The word Peter used was filial, using the word for brotherly or earthly love. Jesus taught us in other scriptures that we must love him more than father, mother, brother, sister, yea, even our own life. We must love him first and most of all if we were going to be his disciple. Now, Jesus taught us that we were to put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're told in Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount. So what Jesus was asking Peter was, do you love me supremely? And I say, what Jesus asked Peter on that occasion would be good for us to consider, just who we love and what we love most. I have said numbers of times, anything that you love more than you love God, that is your God. Anything that you put ahead of God, that becomes your God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And whenever you do that, there's nothing ahead of your love for God. Just out from where Peter and them were standing was the fishing boats, which represented Peter's past life. Do you love me more than your past life or your past way of living? Again, something that we need to consider. Do we love the Lord more than we love our past way of living? He that puts his hand to the plow, Jesus taught us, and looketh back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Yes, God or Christ had called Peter from the fishing business, called him to be a disciple, and assured him that he would become fishers of men. But after the resurrection, Peter said to one of the disciples, or some of the disciples, I'm going fishing. And they said, well, we're going with you. And they fished all night and didn't catch a thing. And whenever daybreak came, they saw a man standing there on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. At first, they did not know who it was. And he asked them whether they had caught anything, and they said, no, we fished all night. And Jesus told them to cast their nets on the other side. And Peter said, well, we fished around here all night, and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. And whenever they did, they caught a large number of fish. And so they were standing there. In fact, Jesus had already prepared a meal for them. Where did he get his fish? Well, he had the fish. He prepared it for them, and he invited them to come and dine. And after they ate, after they had finished the meal, is when Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, whenever the Lord calls us, he calls us out of the world. He calls us from a life of sin. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is indeed a wonderful thing. And Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Whosoever will may come. It makes no difference what your past life may have been. It may no difference how deep in sin you may have gone. A call is going out to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But in our coming to the Lord, we must love him more than anyone else or anything else. Yes, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, but that does not mean we are to put people before our relationship to God. Again, Jesus said we must love him more, father than mother, sister, brother, yea, even our own life. We must love him first. We must love him most. And if we aren't careful, we can permit normally good and healthy relationships to take priority over our love for the Lord. Yes, we are to love our wife or our husband with all, we are to love them, but it's a different kind of love. Yes, it's a different kind of love. And we love our children, but that's different also from a husband and a wife's relationship and love. But whatever kind of love, and the Greeks had more than one meaning for the word love, as is evident in a text that I've, verses that I've already referred to and the thoughts that I've already referred to. But we must put the Lord first, and we must love him supremely. That's why they use the word agape, meaning God's love or love like God. So love is something that is strong indeed, and it is greatly needed in the world. And we are to love our neighbor, we're to love our husband, our wife, we're to love our children, but we are to love God above all. Love always manifests itself in action. Yes, we are to love not in mere word, but we are to love in deed and in truth. Real love, true love, always is manifested in action. Each time after Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and Peter declared that he did, Jesus directed him to do something. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Never did he say, return to your fishing business. And so, beloved, we are to love the Lord, and we are to put that love in action. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I've said many times, that we prove our love to God by doing those things that are pleasing and acceptable in His sight. Many people say they love God, but their life doesn't show it. They love the world, they love the things of the world, and they're following their own desires while professing to love God. But if we really and truly love God, we will put it into action. Love is expressed personally, intimately, through our worship. And our worship must be a worship that comes out of a heart of love. Worship both private and public. Public worship is not to be neglected, not to be forsaken. In fact, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and even so, as we see the day approaching. So our love is to be expressed in our devotion privately and also publicly. It is, if you have the opportunity of meeting together with other saints of God, you need to be there, because that is putting love into action. And you do not go to a house of worship just to see what you can get out of it, but what you can put into it. And again, our worship must be coming out of a heart of love. Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria that the Father seeketh us to worship Him as will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you're going to worship God in spirit and truth, it must come out of a heart of love. You get something out of it, and you put something into it whenever you worship God out of a heart of love and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our love is to be passionate. That's one of the things that Christ found wrong with one of the congregations that He wrote to, as recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He said, you have left your first love. He didn't say they lost it. He said they had left it. They just walked off and left it. And He told them to repent. So our love is to be passionate. It's not to be lukewarm. For Jesus, again, in one of the letters, He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of My mouth. So our love for God must be passionate. It must not be lukewarm. It must not be something that's careless or indifferent about, but it must be sincere and fervent. We are to love one another with a pure heart fervently. How much more are we to love God fervently? And our love is to be practical. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So 1 John 3 and 18 tells us. This means to serve, to work in the kingdom of God. Yes, we are subject to work in the kingdom of God. We're subject to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are vessels for Him to use in whatever capacity He sees fit. And whenever we love Him as we should, He tells us He wants us to do thus and thus, then we say, amen. As Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Don't just sing sweet hour of prayer, pray. Don't just sing, I love to tell the story, tell it. Don't sing, Onward Christian Soldiers, and then go AWOL, absent without leave. It comes time for the services, be there. Put your heart into the service. When it comes to witnessing, and I'm not talking about trying to cram religion down people's throats, but when it comes to witnessing, witness for the Lord. The Word of God says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God, again I say, unto salvation. And we have the best thing, if we are saved today, and the gospel has set us free from sin, we have the best thing in the world. Why? Put it under a bushel and hide it. Let the world see. And again, I'm not trying to talk about drawing attention to self, putting self on display, and look at me like the Pharisee that went up to the temple and prayed, stood there bragging and boasting about what he would. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living the life, Really showing your love to God by living in obedience to His Word, letting your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Many people have been won to the Lord because someone lived the gospel before them. Someone proved their love and their devotion to God by doing those things that were pleasing and acceptable in His sight. As we make Jesus Lord of our lives, and He must be Lord of our lives. He cannot be just Savior. This idea that He can be your Savior but not your Lord is a deception. If Christ is going to be your Savior, He's going to be your Lord, which simply means that He's going to direct you and instruct you as to what you are to do. He is the head of the church. No man is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. The government is on His shoulders, and we are to obey Him. So as we make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, and as we demonstrate our obedience to Him in every area of our lives, we proclaim the reality of the living Christ to a lost and a dying world. And surely this lost and dying world today needs to see people who are loving God with all their heart and serving Him faithfully every day and in every way. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our congregation today. May the Holy Spirit bear witness to the truth that has gone forth. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can listen to a number of our broadcasts there on our webpage, read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you can also join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening worship service begins at 6. And you can join us because our services are broadcast live over the Internet. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Avenue Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today. We invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.